Antonina had a great lesson on John 19, and we're going a little backwards today. John 18. Give me a second here. Hope everyone's had a good weekend. All right. John.
Alexa, stop.
Thanks, Donald. We good?
Yeah.
Okay, Alexa's stop. Okay. John 18. So there's a question I have I want to open up. Have you ever been betrayed?
Yes.
I have too. But I've also betrayed other people as well. I think back to my childhood a lot as a kid. For doing something I didn't think was a big deal. Maybe calling someone a bad name or stealing food or cheating on a test. And what was the result? Well, they told on me. And I felt betrayed. I was like, yo, come on, why are you telling on me? And it wasn't a good feeling. And a movie I watched a while ago is called Here Comes the Boom. All right, you might recognize that actor. But this is one of my favorite movies, and it actually has a powerful scene about betrayal. There is a teacher who is trying to save his friend's job, who is a music teacher at the same school. And how does he want to save his friend's job? With MMA, mixed martial arts, or beating each other up. And why are they getting rid of his teacher? Because of budget cuts. See, he was a music teacher, and one of the first programs to go out was the music program. And so his friend's trying to save this teacher, this teacher's job through MMA. He learns some MMA through a friend, but in What If I Told You, he had raised $50,000 by fighting to save his friend's job. But he lost it all. The principal was stealing from the school for years, and this included the $50,000 they had raised. Talk about betrayal. Man. In the end, it was all good, though. I don't want to spoil it. It's called Here Comes the Boom, and, you know, it's a fun family movie for sure. It makes me think money and greed can ruin your life, can't it? We see that in John 18. We're going to read two other accounts of Jesus being, well, three accounts of Jesus being betrayed in this lesson. We're going to see Judas, Peter, and the Jews / Pilate. So before we get into the scripture, I thought we could go and pray. Yes. Dear God, thank you for allowing us to meet this morning and have some good fellowship and food. I pray that the scripture gives us courage and we can see how strong Jesus's love is for us through the scripture. Lord, be with this lesson and allow us to be bold. Jesus, in your son's name, amen.
Amen.
Verses 1 through 11. When he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the garden, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again, he asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they said. Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" So Jesus is betrayed by Judas when he brings a group of soldiers to arrest him. This shows that Judas misunderstood the nature of Jesus and at the same time underestimated his power. It seems like they were expecting a ruler that would take over by military power or brute force. Hence, he brought all these soldiers and weapons to capture Jesus. There was an attempt to take control, but as soon as Jesus gets involved, stating, "I am he," the soldiers fell to the ground. It really shows you who has control in the situation. And the point that sticks out to me is the fact that Judas betrayed Jesus for something like money. You know, and we've probably all made foolish decisions when it comes to money and finances. I remember when I was a kid, and me included, I was a kid, I gave my friend $20 for his birthday. I was around 14 at the time, and he used that money to buy weed in front of me. And I'm like a young, innocent kid who, I'm not perfect by any means, but I knew that like that wasn't a good thing. And it really hardened my heart. And it took a long time for me to forgive him, not necessarily face to face, but just for my heart, you know, because I had a lot of respect for him until that time. And I think Jesus, you know, he's lived his whole life so we can know him. He's given us access to opportunities to know him. But, you know, how are we going to respond? You know, Judas, it was, you know, the temptation of money and lack of faith. He wanted to turn Jesus in. Mm-hmm. So we see how Judas betrayed Jesus and Jesus' response, but we also get to read about Peter's betrayal of Jesus in verse 25. So we'll skip a little bit through. Now, Peter actually denies Jesus three times, but I think verses, we'll only see it done twice. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there warming himself. So they asked him, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a rooster began to crow. So here we see Peter deny Jesus twice. He did it three times. So on top of what already happened with Judas and Jesus being brought into, what's the word, in front of the priests to get questioned and spat on, Peter denies him and almost all of his disciples desert him with the exception of John at this time. And it makes me think, you know, the disciples did not want to associate themselves with Jesus during this time. And have you ever not wanted to associate with someone with fear of rejection or being misunderstood? Peter was afraid of being associated with Jesus. Kind of fits into that theme of betrayal, you know. A recent example I could think of, and it seems so small, but it's really the small things in life I think sometimes stick with us. I was at a singles New Orleans retreat, and you meet all kinds of different people there. And some people, you are just different then. We were in a big group prayer, and this brother that I was kind of like, okay, we're different. Puts his hand out. He's like, "Come over here, join the big group prayer hug thing we got going on. You know how churches are." And I joined him. Mid prayer, this is how I remember it. I don't know if this is how it played out. I was like, "Man, I gotta like use the bathroom." I detached myself and left because I did not want to be associated with him. Now, he might have not thought anything of it, but that stuck with me. You know, even at a church retreat, I'm worried about how people look at me. Something would seem really small, But I think it bleeds into maybe the bigger areas in our life. And that's just like, wow, makes me think a little bit. Mm-hmm. And Judas, Peter, they didn't want to associate themselves with Jesus. And again, we get to see the third example, the Jews slash Pilate. They didn't want any, they didn't like Jesus either. Verses 28 through 40. When the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor, by now it was early morning. And to avoid ceremonial uncleanliness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you've done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews, gathered there, and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now, Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. And I know Antonino talked about him a little bit in his last lesson. But that's where our reading ends for today. So here we see the Jews didn't want to become ceremonially defiled, because if they stepped inside a house with a Gentile, they would be unclean and could not participate in the festivals of the Passover. Ironically, they kept the requirements of the religion while trying to murder their Savior. We also see Pilate's response to meeting Jesus. He asks, "What is truth?" This is the only, John is the only gospel that records him asking that question. But also every gospel expresses Pilate's emotions and how he gives into the pressure of the Jews, knowing that it was out of self-interest that they wanted him crucified. So the Jews weren't the only ones in the wrong here. Pilate saw Jesus's innocence, but was more worried about his position of power. Shows the power of self-preservation, doesn't it? We want to make sure we stay safe, that we're taken care of. He was willing to go against what he knew to be true to save himself from what he feared, whether it be persecution, losing his job, being rejected by the Romans. Have you ever been swayed by the crowd? I know I have. It could be hard to know what's true when you have so many different crowds these days. That's why prayer in Scripture is so important. And I have no idea, Richard. I trust. There we go. You've been following along. Great. So these are a few pictures. I promise this ties into the lesson. This is what I do. On a day-to-day, or at least what I try to do. I'm in front of the camera a lot, and I'm there talking with a coach at West Alabama. It's a Division II school. And we recorded an interview. It was great. Just trying to get really good content, because I believe that every program has a story to tell, no matter how small, how insignificant. And through this process of trying to get content and meeting new people, you learn that people have different values and belief systems. In fact, I'm actually going to be getting content tomorrow with a guy in Baton Rouge. And he's a sports guy. So that's kind of where our passions align. But I can see we have different values a little bit, you know. I don't know him well enough to, I'm making some assumptions, but there's a difference between life and doctrine. And I could be tempted to be swayed with people like that if they are encouraging me to do something that I know is not righteous. My intentions might be good. I might try and justify certain things, but I really have to remember when I'm stepping out on faith and doing these things that I have to be like Jesus. And I have to follow what the scripture says and really pray and stay faithful regardless if things work out or not. And so, you know, and it's the same for all of us, you know, when we're going to our jobs or we're meeting with family, there's going to be opportunities where we're going to be swayed. And it's hard to know what we're going to do during those times. We have to stay prayed up and in the scripture keeps us strong. So the world influenced Pilate, and he was worried about pleasing everyone, and he ultimately lost. Judas betrayed Jesus for money. Peter and Pilate did it for self-preservation, but one of them was different. Peter realized not just how sinful he was, but how great Jesus's love for us is. Something Judas and Pilate and the other priests failed to see. There's a scripture in Acts that we're probably a little familiar with, Acts chapter 2, that I wanted to share because I think it speaks on the transformation that Peter had. Acts 2, 36 through 38. And we'll be wrapping up here in the next few minutes. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of these are Peter's words. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts, Peter addresses the church. He leads the church. This doesn't come without persecution and some jail time. but you can see the transformation from Peter denying Jesus three times to not very soon after actually leading the church. And I think the point is God can use us no matter how flawed we are. Yes. Judas and Pilate, I believe, could have been accepted by Jesus. But sin got in the way. So we've all been betrayed and we've all betrayed others, but Jesus' love for us is what allows us to keep pushing forward and to stay faithful to him. Amen.